Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The CEOs of the Detroit Three automakers had breakfast today with President Trump. Detroit News business columnist Daniel House is here with us now via Skype. And here they are, Daniel, talking about creating jobs and reducing regulations. And we think about it, those Detroit automakers took plenty of heat from President Trump during the campaign.
They have, but I have to say, the more I hear about this, the more I think that this is a golden opportunity for the Detroit auto industry and for the auto industry in general. You know, they go out there with the president tweeting this morning that he would like to see more jobs and more plants in the United States. But really, some of the stuff we've heard coming out of this so far is all about cutting corporate taxes, working together on instituting more sensible, in air quotes, regulations. Of course, sensibility is often in the eye of the beholder, but I think you're more likely to get agreement between a Trump administration and the auto industry on certain kinds of regulations than maybe between the Obama administration and the auto industry.
Well, let's take a clip from today's meeting. Take a listen. This is courtesy of Reuters.
We're bringing manufacturing back to the United States big league. We're reducing taxes very substantially, and we're reducing unnecessary regulations. And we want regulations, but we want real regulations that mean something.
So what does that mean to those executives sitting around the table?
I think it means opportunity. And I talked with an executive last night preparing for the meeting, and their sense was that what's going on right now is, quote, extremely positive. They see that they have a potential ally in the White House in ways that they didn't have with President Obama. I mean, I know people will immediately jump to the fact, well, he saved the Detroit auto industry, and that's true. And he did with taxpayer money. But then proceeded with a lot of policy thereafter to layer a lot more regulations and particularly onerous fuel economy standards that are becoming increasingly difficult to achieve. And I think will be more difficult to achieve as gasoline prices stay closer to $2 than $4 a gallon.
Although many believe strongly those are needed for the environment.
They do. But, you know, gasoline engines are cleaner now than, of course, they've ever been in our lifetimes. The fuel economy that they're able to get out of internal combustion engines continues to improve. I think some of those improvements will be smaller as we go forward. Look, nobody is suggesting, at least not in the auto companies, and I certainly didn't hear the president say it, that, hey, we're going to throw environmental regulations out the window. But regulation adds a lot of cost to a vehicle. And a lot of things add cost. I mean, the one, I think, unanswered question here is to what extent the White House tries to put pressure on the auto companies to actually build plants in the United States.
You've said often on this show that big border tax. Guess who's going to be paying that?
Well, that's exactly right. But remember, this industry has come back to record highs and has not built any new plants. They've closed some plants in the dark days of 2009 and 2010, and now they've pretty much taken the footprint they have and they're maximizing the use in that footprint. I think a lot of people are going to get very nervous, particularly in the investment community, if it looks like a General Motors, a Ford, or a Chrysler says, hey, we're going to build a new plant. That may be popular with some of the president's supporters, but I think as a business proposition, it's not. The final thought I would have here is, you know, we're in a different time here between Trump and Obama. Obama, because he was using federal money to pull these companies back from the abyss, he had a lot more leverage than this president technically has. I mean, yes, he's got a Twitter account that he'll use, and he's clearly not afraid to do public shaming of CEOs, but he doesn't have the same kind of raw leverage, I think, that President Obama had. So it's going to be interesting to see if we have a partnership developing here, or whether it's one where the president tries to really kind of throw his weight around. People who have talked with him about some of these issues say that he can be tend to be a pretty quick study and ask some interesting questions as the discussions unfold, that what goes on behind the scenes is a little different than what we hear publicly in some cases.
Now, how about the announced decision to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership? What are automakers saying about that new announcement from the president?
Well, Ford was pretty outspoken and public about their opposition to that, despite the fact that the Obama administration supported it. General Motors kind of played both sides against the middle. They didn't like it, but they really didn't want to take on the Obama administration, so they were kind of polite about the whole thing. But I think behind the scenes, I think it's safe to say that particularly GM and Ford, who are, of course, the two biggest, are just as happy to see TPP go away. And Ford CEO Mark Fields said as much this morning after the meeting with the president and credited him for having the courage to pull the plug on what they call a bad deal. I think the other thing that's really interesting here is the alignment between industry and labor here. What's happening very subtly, but I don't think there's any doubt about what's happening here, is that this administration intends to be friendly and work with and be allied with industrial unions, construction unions, the UAW, the steel workers, the mine workers. I think this administration sees that those are potential allies. And as all of your listeners know, the industrial Midwest is kind of the ground zero for those unions, and the industrial Midwest was critical to the president having an electoral college win.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. As always, thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.